Yes, it's 8:03. Sorry about that. I had a little train incident, but it's the lighter side of the dark side. Your Thursday Night Freak Show. I forget what day it is. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian.
Yeah.
And I also have Josie Katz got the flu, but she will be calling in later. She promised. But, you know, I have to have a cat, K-A-T, on the show somehow.
Somehow.
So the second week in a row, I love it. Cat
I
Face,
love it too. Hi.
Our favorite naughty submissive ballerina is here.
I love that new name, by the way.
I'm full of them. Trust me. I've got a few others that you might want to.
One every week. How's that?
Okay, good. Yeah, I've got some naughty ones. I've been thinking about those. But two people that have amazing pseudonyms themselves and names of themselves are here. We have Ozfest Amy.
Yes.
Ozfest Amy, who I've talked to very briefly. I don't really know. And then I caught her whole story, and it's fascinating. She's been a publicist for such bands as American Head Charge, and you've worked Ozfest how many years? You were behind the scenes of Ozfest how many years?
I went in 2000 as a guest, actually, and got the privileged honor of seeing Pantera.
Right.
Which was pretty awesome.
Right.
2001, I went across the country with the whole tour, which wasn't even part of the plan. I went to Chicago just to see the show and wound up getting pulled into the whole thing.
So you hear all these stories about a young lady shows up just for a night. And we are the guests. It's Dangerous D. He works at carnivals and sideshows. So.
That's right. What's happening? What's happening?
So, you're familiar with women running away and joining the circus, I'm sure.
That's right. And I'm also used to women just running away from me.
Yeah. don't all good-looking guys say all that stuff? You know, oh, yeah, they're all running. Look at the beautiful. I don't want to. I don't know if it's a girlfriend.
Look, you almost said wife. You almost said, look at you. You don't.
I know,
premeditate shit.
I know for sure she's not your mother. That I know for sure. But
I would be absolutely honored to marry that pretty girl, but she's probably going to run away.
Right. We'll see what happens. Yeah. One night with you. Used a tennis racket yet? I don't know. But
straight jackets and all, baby.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to get all that. His act is crazy. It's wild. I saw him do a show with our friend who we saw last week, Kendra. And she's like, you got to see this guy.
Oh, Kendra's great, dude. She's so much fun.
Because I was ready to leave. He's like, no, you got to see this guy. And he was great. So before we get started, we've got so many spots. I got to get them out of the way. So let's get it all out of the way first. Doomy's Home Cooking. Love Doomy's Home Cooking. One of my favorite places to eat. This is for, because we have people worldwide and nationwide listening in. So this is the local one. If you're in Los Angeles, they have the good old-fashioned American Thanksgiving at Doomy's Home Cooking. Turkey, mashed potatoes. First off, this is a vegan restaurant. But it doesn't look or taste vegan at all.
I've ate there. It's very good,
It's
actually.
Amazing. So yes. On Thanksgiving, turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, fennel-glazed carrots, yams, cranberry sauce, stuffing, green bean casserole, dinner roll, and dessert. All for only $20.
Yo-yo ma.
You can't beat that, but you have to RSVP. So you got to either call 323-469-4897 or email them at doomyveg@gmail.com. You can pick it up, treat the family to Doomy's Home Cooking if you don't want to cook like me, or just go down there and have a great meal. And their famous pumpkin pie and gluten-free pecan pie.
Wow.
They're having
$15 a piece. Pick those up for the family. And Doomy's Home Cooking on Facebook, and I'm looking for the address, which is somewhere here. Because if you're ever in Hollywood, especially if you're late at night, and you're going to Bar Sinister, Batcave, of these clubs are
right on,
and you like, oh, I'm really, because you get drunk, you get hungry. Don't go to Denny's or any of that crap. Go to 1253 Vine Street, Hollywood, California, right on the corner of Fountain and Vine. You can't go wrong.
Best hood.
Oh, it's the best. We also have, we're brought to you by Audible.com. I love listening to audiobooks. I'm trying to give away audiobooks. You can get a free audiobook no matter what you want. They got Stephen King, Edgar Allan Poe. They got all the best sellers. They got comedy albums. They have, actually, Sasha Gray has been a guest on our show. She reads her erotic novel, The Juliet Society. That's 8 hours of Sasha Gray talking dirty to you. I'm trying to give it away.
Wow.
Just go to darkmarkshow.com. Click on the audible.com button. They also have hypnosis tapes for weight loss and other
That's
things.
That's killer. Do I qualify even though I'm a guest?
Absolutely. Just
so
go
if
to darkmarkshow.com.
People aren't going to think it's fixed?
No. Just go to darkmarkshow.com. There's two banner ads, one for Audible, and just click on the Audible. You can sign in with the Amazon account. It's an Amazon company.
Right on.
30-day free trial. If you cancel within the 30 days, you can cancel the next day, or you can cancel 30 days. You get to keep the free book. You can play it on your phone, your tablet, your computer. No matter what, they have a play of Dracula with Tim Curry and Alan Cumming and an all-star cast.
Oh, it's great.
They've got all sorts of every kind of book that you want. Comedy albums by Louis C.K., George Carlin, Kevin Hart.
Beautiful.
Whatever you want.
They got Richard Pryor.
I'm sure they do. I'll check that in a second. Stamps.com is our new sponsor. So,
fantastic.
Yeah, so that was the worldwide. Worldwide, go to audible.com. Nationwide, stamps.com. The holiday season is coming up. And we all want to send letters to our family, packages to our family. We don't want to wait in the post office. That's worse than some of the stuff you torture yourself with. And you're right.
It's pretty bad.
So go to stamps.com. If you click on the stamps.com, if you go to darkmarkshow.com, click on the stamps.com button, you get a special offer, $100 value. You have $45 in postage coupons, a free digital scale, which has numerous uses, $5 supply kit, and a 4-week free trial at stamps.com. Same thing. 30-day free trial. That's all you pay is shipping and handling. That's a free trial for stamps.com. Once you sign up, you can start using your stamps right away. Basically, what you do, you put your envelope or a piece of paper in your printer. Postage is on there. You don't have to go to the post office. You're done. Throw it in the mailbox. Mailman will pick it up. Legal postage.
Wow.
So you can just print. You can print it on. You can print it on. You just put. I can't wait to get an envelope and throw it to the printer and have it magically have postage. So, stamps.com, audible.com, Doomies Home Cooking. Please support these companies. They're great.
You seriously got me excited about Doomies.
Doomies is great. You've never been to Doomies,
dude. I'm new to the area,
dude. You got to check out Doomies.
And I'm dying. I saw it was on your website. I was like, what? How do I not know about this,
dude? Jenny, do we still have the Doomies pictures?
Doomies food from last night.
I'm going to share some weird. But before, as we're getting that up, Kat and I, we had a great show last week. We had Fuckface Jimmy and Trixie Camaro from Cold Sluts on Fire.
Fantastic.
And then we went. This is the first time you'd been in a fetish club in a long time.
Long time.
Fetish
yes.
party. Private fetish party.
Yeah, I took a bit of a hiatus.
Kat faces. She is a submissive. And she's a regular at these parties, and she used to dance at the Paris parties. And you've been out of the scene for a while.
I have been, yes.
So we walked down the street. They had Art Walk.
Downtown LA, yep.
They had a private fetish party. You walk in, the place was a buzz.
It was a buzz.
Yes, it was. Look at that.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Vegan. That's a vegan Big Mac right there.
You see this? You see what's going on here? Holy smokes.
Look at that chicken fried steak. That's vegan. That's delicious.
That looks incredible.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Unbelievable.
Really good. It's really good.
Yeah, close the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, there's a little close-up of the Big Mac again. That's on the secret menu. That's not actually on the menu. You got to say, I want a Big Mac, and they have their version of the Big Mac.
You got the in. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
got to talk to locals.
And
this
tell
is
them Dark Mark
in Hollywood.
Tell them the Dark Mark show sent you.
Yeah, dude, I so am.
And you were hoping to get, and I left you for a little bit, so you were hoping to get a little action in at the fetish party. Did that happen?
Was I hoping? I don't know if I had any expectations. I was just curious to see this particular event because it wasn't as flamboyant as some of the parish events or any of the other events.
Bondage ball.
Yeah, bondage
like
ball, noise factory. It was very, very low key, mm-hmm. very upscale, if you will.
It was kind of upscale. It was a nice little apartment, a nice little loft downtown, and then we were there, and it was just like a regular party. They had some chips and stuff out. Kendra was serving drinks. And then, like, you go into this other room, and they're playing, like, drums. Like
the drumming, yeah.
I don't mean
it's
to do
porn.
That.
You said it was, like, porn drumming,
no,
right?
No,
was
okay,
that you?
I shouldn't even do that either. But it was, like, this guy doing a steady beat on the drums. And this guy's just, yeah.
While Phoenix was doing some shibari ropes.
I figured you would know what that is. What,
yeah,
what they were doing.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, no, I'm very familiar.
Shibari rope.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. So, and we ran into Orpheus and about a lot of our other friends there.
Yeah, lots of people I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah. So does that mean you're in? You're back in?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's not enforced.
That sounded like a yes, but I don't want to admit it on air.
No. I mean, look, I'm not opposed. I didn't mean to take a break. It just sort of happened that I missed one party, then it was another. Here I am a year later. Right. Yikes. So it's just going to be.
Just when you thought you were out, they pulled you back in.
Yes.
Have you ever met Ozfest, Amy?
I have not, but. Right. In looking at her, she reminds me of the poster for Almost Famous.
Yeah?
Oh, my God, yes.
That.
And in some respects, well, with the glasses, the whole thing. You got a bit of an almost famous look tonight.
That's what I hear.
And you've lived that life. Now, tell me, let's go back, how you got into the, obviously you're a fan of metal music.
Yes.
As we all are. And so now you're a journalist and you write for overseas publications.
I write for an overseas publication called Metalaville. And it's out of Sheffield, England.
Metalaville.
Yes. And they cover a little bit of everything, actually. I mean, we've covered Sin Corinne. I saw you guys had him on the show.
Right, right.
And
did you meet him with when he was in American Head Charge?
No, actually, I know who he is before even that.
Right.
Because he came after.
Right.
You know? So right. I was really shocked that he even got involved with them. I mean, but that was great.
Right. So how did you actively get involved with the music? Now, you were a fan. And where do you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from a little town called Morrisonville, Illinois. Our nearest radio station is WQLZ. And I hooked up with all of those people that were DJs at that actual local radio station. Mm-hmm. And I did their hair for the radio program every day. So doing their hair took several hours, if mm-hmm. not almost all day.
Really?
Yes, because I had to do little pinhead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but for a radio show?
Right.
Do their hair for the... I haven't even bathed for like a month.
We would expect nothing less from you, Dan.
They'd be little like pinhead, like everywhere.
So they were doing like punk rock sort of like big mohawks and things like that and punk rock styles. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so I'd do the hair and I'd show up at their stuff. And I just went through a divorce, so I was totally ready to
get
by a long shot.
Yeah.
So when they met me, they got to see the raw, crazy version of me. And pretty
Is
much.
Is there any other version?
Well, there's the quiet one.
We all have our quiet moments.
That's my tonic over there, the Fireball.
Oh, please get all. Please go ahead.
Everybody, yes, absolutely.
Who brought the juice, baby? Who brought the juice?
Please.
There we go.
All right.
Yeah,
sponsor.
That's now, speaking of people who have a wild, crazy side, and you're Dangerous D. Now, you're from a small town yourself, right?
Yeah, actually, it's I'm a little bit of a walking cliche. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. I'm 100%
really?
Italian.
Okay.
But I left there as a kid, and I grew up in Baltimore.
Really? So, I was born in Brooklyn, too. I'm a quarter Italian.
You look like my cousin.
Right. So you guys, please, indulge. But,
for everybody.
I bought it last week. Don't
spill it. That's a small bottle. Don't spill it.
Right. Yeah, so,
no accidents.
So you're born in Brooklyn, but how did you grew up in Maryland? Or?
I did, in Baltimore. It's my pops was in law enforcement, and he traveled all over the place. He ended up landing in D.C. Yeah. So we grew up grew up in an area called Severna Park, which was like right outside of Annapolis. But then when I was like a teenager, I rolled in, started hanging out in the city, and that's really where I developed doing what I'm doing in Baltimore, like busking on the streets and just being a freaking idiot.
And is Baltimore as rough as they say?
I'll be honest with you. You have no idea, bro, right?
Yeah.
I lived like in the projects. Right? I'm talking about.
Like all the guys from The Wire hanging out with you.
Those guys didn't even come into my neighborhood.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
It was bad. You know what I mean? And it was funny because when I first moved out here, I've only been out here, maybe a little over a year.
Right.
And a good buddy of mine had been living out here a while. And he was like, look, now, you're going to hear a lot of stuff about don't go here, don't go there, and don't go to this place.
Right.
The first time I came to downtown L.A.,
right.
A friend of mine was like, hey, be careful. Be careful what you're doing, where you're parked, and how it goes. I came down here. There were white people walking around.
Right.
Okay, that is a good neighborhood. That is suburbia to me.
Right.
What I mean? So, it was definitely rough. I'm glad to be out of there doing my thing out here, but nothing beats home.
But I'm assuming that you were one of the few white people that were walking around Baltimore.
I was the only white guy that literally lived within like 40 blocks of me, either way you looked.
Right. So,
I'm Italian, so most black guys, they don't consider me white.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I got along with everybody.
Exactly. I know the feeling. But doing these stunts, I mean, is that how you sort of broke the ice and made friends, or
you know, that's exactly what it was. Anytime I started in the neighborhood, I would go down to like area like the Inner Harbor, Fells Point, and places like that where there's a lot of activity. And right. I started out performing on the streets. I would show up with like a handful of some dangerous ass shit, anything that could hurt me or make me bleed. I'd throw my hat down, I'd start performing, build a crowd.
Look at that crazy ass white boy.
Yeah, exactly. And right. they loved it. They ate it up, and I love people. I love talking. I love just getting crazy and doing dumb shit. So we'd have like our own party right on the street. And I found out that so many people started crowding around these parties.
Right.
It's illegal. Like, you're not even allowed to do that in Baltimore. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
it's,
right.
it's causing problems. So I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Right. Go someplace where I can actually get paid to do this for real. You know?
And here you are.
Now I showed up, baby. Yeah. I was going to say, born in Brooklyn, raised in Baltimore. Now I'm kicking Los Angeles' fucking ass.
And you really are. It's funny because we had apparently one of your rivals on. I don't know,
really?
Rival. We had Houdini 1692 on.
Rival. He's like my I don't even, my Padawan. What do you want to call it? I put that guy in Sideshow.
Right. No, he had nothing but great things to say about you.
He's awesome. He's awesome. I met him a year ago, and he came to me and was like, hey, I'm in the Sideshow. I love this shit. I eat fire. I can do this kind of, a little bit, whatever. I'm really interested in getting into it. A year later, he's performing shows with me. He's awesome.
Right.
He kicks ass.
No, he's great. He's great. I tried to do the same thing. Because what happens, I booked you for my show, my album release party at CIA, which is a great show.
Right.
And then, like, afterwards, when he saw that you were booked, he's like, can I be on the show, too? I'm like, no, not really, no.
Not going to happen now, brother.
No. Next one, maybe. So, and then we had him on the show. He's great. But, he said that he used to watch Jackass and things like that, and that's how he kind of was inspired to do some of this stuff. Was that your experience, or
you know what? Every time you talk to guys that do dumb shit, you know, and I don't do magic. I want that to be clear. I do sideshow, do like pain-proof stunt shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Jackass thing always comes up. And here's the thing: I'm an old guy, right? I'm 34. So
you're ancient,
right? So. I was around.
Cats laughing.
I'm the same
well,
age.
Well, in L.A., yes, that
right.
is old.
That's
right?
old, yeah.
Well, I'm saying,
it's
right?
over the hill, yeah.
I don't look like it.
Done,
hey, don't
done.
Get me wrong. I'm pretty as a peach, but I'm just saying, right?
Yeah, so yeah, I have the experience. You grew the beard back because you're too baby-faced.
So I was the same age as Knoxville and Bam Margera and all those guys when they were doing this stuff. And legitimately, back then, you didn't have iPhones and cell phones and all this bullshit. Right. Maybe you still had a friend that had a pager or whatever it was.
Right.
So I was doing this stuff. And not filming it when I was a kid.
Right.
I was doing dumb. I was always that guy. I'd show up at a party. I'd put my head through a fucking wall.
Right.
See how many panes of sheetrock I can crack on my face. Like, I did dumb shit.
Jump in a pool off the roof.
Yeah, absolutely. I did that stuff. And then once Jackass and, like, the CKY, the Bam Margera started circulating around, I was like, shit, I'm already doing this. I'm going to film it and get paid.
Right.
So I started filming. And then that snowballed, just doing dumb shit, snowballed into, wow, I can really take a lot of pain and really push my body to the limits.
Right.
I'm going to sit down, script this out, and really go nuts and put a show together. And that's how I rolled in into Sideshow.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't do Sideshow. I produce easy.
Do you go to the degree of stapling your actual ball sack to anything crazy, like Steve-O went to the extreme when he did all that craziness?
Absolutely.
What do you do with your balls?
I was going to say, we're only going to talk about stapling here, I hope, but you'll be surprised. I could parachute off a cliff with those fuckers.
Are we going to get a demo? Are we going to get a demo of the ball stapling?
We absolutely can, but here's the thing. I do that, but it takes a $100 bill. If anybody in the room has a $100 bill, that will get you, and you pull the trigger. That puts that nutsack to the leg. Bang.
Well, that's that.
Do you take personal checks?
I do. And I take credit cards. You can just slide them through my ass.
But that is one of the things that you're known for. You, at the end of the show, people come up and staple money to your body.
That's right. I figure if you're going to throw down a hat and ask for tips, that's cool. And there's a lot of humanitarians out there that just want to throw something in your hat and help you out so I can eat.
Right.
But I want to earn those tips. If you're a real badass and you really want to be a part of the show and be liberated, get that bill out, walk up there and staple that. And I'm not talking about some bullshit office stapler. It's an industrial staple gun you buy at Home Depot.
Right.
Roll up and bang, put it in good.
Now, how much is for your face? I forgot.
It's here's the breakdown. Ones and fives to the body, tens to the ass, twenties to the face, 100 puts the sack to the leg, and you pull the trigger.
And how many sacks to the leg have you gotten
to see?
Everybody wants to do it.
I did that tour thing with Rob Zombie, The Greatest American Nightmare.
Oh, right.
Awesome.
I did it for like 30. I did last year's all 30 dates, and then I did the opening weekend of this year.
Right.
It was in, I think it was Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
And no shit. at least every other night I was getting five or six fucking people. As a matter of fact, at the VIP night for the show last year, it was like celebrity night. Had all these people out. Tommy Lee, boom, hit me. Andy Dick, boom, hit me. Kat Von D.
No surprise with Andy Dick.
Well, let me tell you, Andy, not only did Andy Dick hit me, he hit me hard.
I'm sure he did.
Well, so that begs the question, does the nut sack still work? I mean, is it functional or is it completely
does
numb?
Does the nut sack still work over there? Okay, yes,
all right.
Madeline Magnificent. I was going to say, I'm Italian. I'm strong like bull. I take care of myself. Yeah. Everything on me functions perfectly well. Right. You wouldn't believe.
Who else besides Tommy Lee and Andy Dick? You said another name and I didn't catch
it. It was Kat Von D.
Oh, okay. That all makes sense.
And the funny thing is, she's a tattoo artist and she's used to drilling and bleeding up. She didn't want to do it. Right. We had like 40 people coaxing her to do it and she finally, she pulled the trigger, whatever. Which is crazy when people cringe when they're doing it because that shit hurts me more than it hurts you. Like, what the fuck? You know?
Do you think she was cringing because it would
probably
hurt
you? Probably because she saw a ball sack.
Yeah, was she cringing because she saw your dick or was it
I'm very careful. I try not to let the shaft roll out, but I do wear skivvies and it might happen.
Yeah, did you shave or?
Actually, you know what? For the Rob Zombie thing, I figure since he was such an antique, dirty motherfucker, I figured no. But normally I do keep it nice and clean down there.
I anticipated your question, Kat. I know you wanted
I forgot it. I'm totally like hair. What?
He shaves his balls. But so how did you become a publicist for American Head Charge? The
actually, when I went out on the Ozfest in 2001, I met up with them right away. And there was an entourage of them outside because you have to remember they're a large band, kind of like Slipknot in size.
Sure, yeah.
So when they're sitting outside, you're very intimidated. Right. And for me being a woman to walk up and see them outside, I don't know whether I was appalled or intrigued because it was a little bit of a combination of both. So I walked up and had to ask them, what are you guys all about? Right. And that's actually how it all started. Everybody else had streetwise demos that they were giving out as promos on the tour. Not me. I had a streetwise demo and an American Head Charge demo.
Okay.
So I had all their stuff, and they gave me their stickers, anything they wanted to distribute out.
Now, were you there just as a fan, or you were there? You were actually working at that time.
Yeah, I went in to get a job. This is the thing. WQLZ sent me in there, and I wasn't supposed to land the gig.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They were going to make fun of me on the radio program when I bombed it. But I went in there with vampire fangs, hair extensions, a Hot Topics wardrobe when Hot Topics was cool.
They didn't have Lady Gaga shit.
Yeah, like I had a whole lip service wardrobe.
Right.
And a trunk in the car filled with it.
Trust me. I'm picturing it right now.
So anyway... So I looked the part.
Right.
So instead of not getting the gig, I got it. And the radio people were hostile. That they couldn't do the skit they wanted.
They were tearing their hair out.
Back then, like he was talking about, social media wasn't a thing.
Right.
So we were like the last tour that didn't have to endure the fact that anything could be captured that we were doing. Right. So it was no holds barred.
And who else was on the tour? It was Black Sabbath or was it Ozzy?
Black Sabbath, original lineup. Right. I've seen them over 30 times with Bill Ward.
That is amazing.
Right.
Maybe one of the last times Bill Ward was on.
And And basically, Slipknot.
Okay.
And I'll say.
When they were breaking big.
Yes, totally. And still wearing the mask the whole nine yards.
Right.
Disturbed.
Right, when they were hitting big.
Yes. I was there to see when they pulled them off second stage and had to put them on main stage.
Because they were getting so big.
It was getting really dangerous for the crowd.
Really?
Yeah. So they took them from Chicago from second stage, and that's how they became a headliner. Right. And Mudvayne.
Right.
There was Spineshank, which was like Metallica's baby, almost is what you want to call them.
I remember them,
yeah. And Union Underground, that's how I met Patrick Kinnison, who's now in Heaven Below.
Okay.
And
So then American Head Charge, so you start like getting the word out for them. And you don't have any experience with this. You were, I guess, assuming a hairdresser or?
No, actually, my father was in a band and pushed me into music to the point where I had kind of the knowledge. that I needed to basically do
everything.
What
band was your band?
Led Zeppelin.
Something he was in Led Zeppelin. No, but my father basically...
It's a little band you might have heard of. It's called the Rolling Stones.
Let's put it this way. I had girls try and hit on me because I look like my father. I've heard the craziest pickup lines. I want to screw you because you look like your dad.
So your dad is a famous rock and
roll. My dad's in the Midwest. He never went anywhere else. When I asked him why...
Who is Aldo Nova? Who is this?
No. I'm a coal miner's daughter, so my dad had plenty of money.
Money? Who's
your mom? My dad's Dave Yard. He's the vice president of the United Mine Workers. He's got a heavy, creepy following. Right. Yes.
So he has a rock and roll past.
Yes.
So you've seen that world. So you were able to pick up American Head Charge and really I don't know that much
right
about
now,
American
they're,
Head Charge.
Right now, they're in Charleston. Actually, Chris Emery got his wallet stolen in Baltimore when they did the gig.
Oh, shit. I might have that.
Six Degrees of the Dark March.
They're out, though, right now in honor of Wayne Static.
They're still pursuing that tour
with Powerman 5000, who you also know about
I performed with them at the Rob Zombie thing. They're fucking awesome.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So, yeah, they're all out together.
So how do you become a publicist, and what did you do for American Head?
I followed them all the way through the Ozfest. I distributed out their demo as they needed it to be distributed to radio. I basically sent it out wherever it needed to be sent at the time. Street teams didn't exist.
Right.
So that wasn't a thing yet.
That's what I was actually going to say when you started the story. You basically were the head of their street team before there were street teams.
That's
fucking awesome. Because I actually did that for so many bands as a kid where, like you said, before like the internet got super huge, like freaking like the Offspring and
I actually got paid,
stuff.
Though. There was that's a big
what,
difference.
That's, no, that, yeah. that's what I'm saying. You started the realm of it because what they would do is they'd see like if you were on like their fan club, they'd send you a bunch of free stickers and business cards and shit. They'd be like, give this to your friends. And you did. You'd go out to shows and hand this shit out because you thought you were cool. And you basically were promoting for them for free all across the country. And they're like, shit, people get paid to do this?
and it works.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So. And basically, so I went out with them and I rolled across the country all the way across the whole Ozfest tour.
Right.
After that, I picked up and continued with the same bus they had, with the same driver. And the next band we picked up was Nickelback. And I'm not real happy about that.
Whatever you think about Nickelback, if you were the publisher for Nickelback, I would say good fucking job.
I met them in September 24th in Nashville, Tennessee at a Shoney's. Right. And their CD came out September 11th. And I got to come in
2001?
Yeah, I got to tell them
Now the World Trade Center bombing is the second worst tragedy on September 11, 2001.
Their CD came out that very day.
That might be the first.
I believe.
All right, maybe that's the first. Nickelback is a close second. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I believe that's probably why that CD took off so well, though, because A Nation in Mourning needed something that had melody to see them in a time.
I'm kidding. I don't.
I'm fine with.
They're not
with
the best and not the worst. They're okay. They're fine.
I believe that's why they took off though, because that tragedy happened.
You're probably right. Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think it would have happened.
Right. Do they have an inspirational song? I don't even remember.
How You Remind Me took them off.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So
them.
They had inspirational hair.
So that would be.
Oh,
that would
God.
Be
a, yeah.
So you were at Ozfest and Nickelback, they were like playing the second stage? Or
No, actually, they had their own tour. Everybody was coming out with them instead.
Oh, okay. All right.
They were doing festivals. When we showed up
in Head Charge was working with them?
No. They took over Head Charge's bus and I stayed on it.
Oh, okay.
So I continued on with the next tour.
Oh, wow.
Is how it worked.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Were there other bands that used the same bus and you just kept on it?
I just stayed on it.
That's great. Who else is on the bus?
Okay, the next thing that I did? No, the next thing that I did. The next thing that I did was I went out to the Masquerade in Tampa, Florida, cuz I made enough money doing music promotions to move to Clearwater, Florida for 2 years.
Right.
I mean, I had a beach chateau. I could put my feet in the sand every day.
Nice.
I had a place that was sweet.
Right.
I mean, I made enough money, and I had the bus when the bands would fly back to Canada or wherever the hell they were from.
Did you own the bus?
No. Oh, okay. They would leave it, though, empty, and I'd just stay on it. Hell, why not?
That's awesome.
That's so great.
Why not?
Sorry, where would this bus be?
It would just be parked out in front of my house.
Wendy's.
In front
Wendy's
of
your house. Right.
So basically, right. We had to go to the airport, pick them back up, and resume the tour.
Right. So after Nickelback, who used the bus?
I went out and I met Drowning Pool for the Jägermeister Music Tour at the Masquerade in Tampa, Florida, and actually before Dave Williams died.
Right.
And I was devastated, you know, by that. That was pretty bad for me because I drank Jäger and I don't remember a whole lot of that night. So that's the last time he ever saw me before he passed away. So it was probably pretty traumatic for him.
Well, you said you saw Pantera on the Ozfest tour.
Yes,
There's some heavy drinking there, I would imagine.
I'll tell you what. And the pyrotechnics and the flames and the way they did the whole Pantera set was just amazing.
I've seen Pantera live. They're amazing.
I saw them live.
It blew my fucking mind.
Amazing.
They're fucking awesome.
And with no pyrotechnics, just them. Actually, I saw them open for Black Sabbath. Honestly, they were better than Black Sabbath.
How I got turned on to Pantera is, and don't judge me because of this. Remember, I was a teenager. In 1994, I stole a car and drove it across country all the way to Los Angeles. And that was that and Typo Negative Bloody Kisses were the only CDs in the car.
Okay.
I had a manic depressant, a guy that thought he was a vampire, and a guy that claimed to be a bank robber from Detroit in the car with me.
Well, yeah.
Right. That's how I got introduced to Pantera
and
the music. So that's the, you know. I actually was pretty innocent before all of
that. Talk about a traveling circus sideshow. Yeah. Holy shit.
That's crazy. But compared to that, Nickelback's a breeze.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Dangerous Dan. So where do you, because it's interesting, because now you're sort of clarifying things, because I was talking about Houdini 1692, and he does some of the same things that you do.
Right, right.
Now, you taught him to do these things, I'm assuming.
Some of the things. There's a lot of things that are in Sideshow, though, that are kind of like, and I'm glad you brought this up because this is kind of where I stand in Sideshow. Sideshow's been around forever. People don't even realize how much Sideshow connects with American culture.
Right.
And the things that, I mean, circus and sideshows gave you Pink Lemonade. You don't even know where they, I mean, that like down home shit like that came from Sideshow.
Funnel cakes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. But really what the thing is, there's a handful of feats and stunts that have been around since like the ancient fakirs of India. And they've been doing this stuff forever, like bed of nails and shit right? So a lot of sideshow performers do the regular staple traditional stuff to tie it into sideshow.
Right.
And the thing is, and I explained to Houdini and all the guys that I perform with, I got started in Sideshow in Baltimore with a dude named Chris Scarborough.
Mm-hmm.
He actually runs a podcast that's awesome that he wanted to get you on.
I'd love to be on.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's called The Curioso, and it's just about crazy, wild people.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And he got me into it. And basically what I realized, performing with heavy hitters, I mean, guys that paved the way, Guinness World Record holders, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I was on America's Got Talent. I was on AMC Freak Show.
I was going to ask you about that.
You know, I've been on a bunch of different things. I've seen them all. I've met them all. I've done it all type of thing. I've performed in Vegas. I've performed the streets and the projects. I've done everything. And what you need to do in the realm of sideshow is you have to create your own thing.
Exactly.
You have to come up with at least one fucking thing that you pioneered, not change something from the past and made it your own. You have to completely come up with something brand fucking new.
And what's your pioneering thing?
It's called the human hourglass.
Right.
And I take an industrial zip tie, I put it around my waist and constrict it, and all my organs constrict and about to the size of a bagel. And I have a world record for that, for the most constricted male waist. And nobody else does this. Nobody else does that type of thing.
Right.
And that's what it is. So you can do other stuff that's, you know, traditional sideshow.
I almost want to go smoke a cigarette.
I'm not joking. I have it.
I've seen the picture.
I'm jealous.
Right. It is the true. That's why I call it the human hourglass. It's the true. Like, you heard of corsets. Right. This is like.
Well, I can constrict my stomach to a box of bagels, but not
I got a hula hoop. I got a hula hoop for you.
I'm sure. Yeah. Let's try with the hula hoop and we'll go there. But because I was actually, I went to the Magic Castle this week, and I was with my friend Tessa LaCoyle, who's an extreme.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
You know
yeah.
Tessa?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So we were talking. Because I told her you were going to be on. She didn't mention that she knew you, but. She was.
I know who she is. She doesn't know me.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what it is. It's totally Danny Danger. But she, but we were talking, and she's like, and I was telling her, you know, she was talking about the blockhead. I'm like, yeah, you know, I saw you, I saw Houdini, I saw this other lady at the CIA. All three of you doing the blockhead. She's like, oh, that's been, you know, everybody does that.
Everybody. A guy named Melvin Burkhart. He was the original anatomical wonder, like 100 years ago. Right. He did it for the first time, and. His basic thing was, hey, look, you got to be a real blockhead to do this. And he was the one that started it. And it's things like that. The metal nails,
glass. I see that you have the nose ring now. Do you do it on the nose ring side or the other side?
I actually do it on the nose ring side because I've snorted so much cocaine through the other nostril that there's nothing. I mean,
a deviated septum.
You can fit a fist to that side. It's not impressive. Yeah,
get the zip tie out. Yeah. But you're on America's Got Talent. And so how did you not, I mean, I've seen some
that?
Of the talent. And the thing is, not only do you do these things and you do them well, but you have a great stage presence and you're very funny. That's what really sells it.
And you know what? That was why I committed and said, you know what? I'll go on this thing and audition. And I went through and I made it through four auditions and four different stunts and went through. And basically what happens was the very end of what I was doing. And my stunt was I would slide my entire body through a gutted tennis racket, dislocate my right shoulder, boom, go the whole way through.
Right.
Once I got down to my chest, it couldn't fit all the way. So I did the zip tie. To constrict to get it all the way down.
Wow.
But I did the whole thing while the tennis racket was on fire, and then I ate the fire afterwards, after I slid through the whole tennis racket.
Now, that's talent.
Yeah.
I pulled, like, four stunts into one that I would, you know. So I brought out the heavy guns, and I came out, and basically what happened was, and I couldn't even fucking believe this, right?
Right.
Howard Stern, of all the motherfuckers, right? Right? Howard Stern, well, the first person is Mel B, the
Spice Girl.
Spicy,
yeah.
Spicy. Yeah, she bangs me. She's like, this is just fucking disgusting. Right. So everyone's like, once you get a big buzz, everyone's like, all right, well, what's going on here? Right. Everybody else then, bang, hammered me down the line. Boom, 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 right? So Howard Stern speaks, and they're all like negotiating between each other. I'm like, well, what's going on? Stern speaks up, and he's like, look, you're just a little too aggressive.
What?
And a little too much. He's like, you know, your character is not likable.
What?
And I was like,
what?
I was like, are you
like
fucking
Simon
kidding
Cowell
me?
The
coming
hell
from
out.
The most hated man in show business.
Howard Stern said you're not likable.
I lost my fucking. So I started arguing with him. I lost my mind. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And you know what? I think I was so off the cuff that I was not family show at all. They cut all my shit and they used me as highlight reels.
Right, right, right.
Boom, boom. You know what I mean? Highlight reel. And then they called me a week later. So I get the buzz that kicked me off. That's the end of it. I get a call a week later from the producer. He said, hey, we're shooting the intro for the season opener in Hollywood. You want to come out? We'll hire you to. So I went out and I shot their season opener for them. I was like, you know, I pay for hire stuff.
Right.
You know, hanging out with the producers. They all love me. But it was.
Meanwhile, Wendy Liebman, who was a good comic, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But had an HBO special in 1995. Is on America's Got Talent, like as a new talent.
Right, yeah.
And you're doing this. I can see maybe the zip tie maybe have been a little too extreme. I'm not sure.
Right, and that's what I think it was. And you know me, I scream and yell. I wasn't cursing and doing dumb stuff or grab my, but I came out yelling.
But you were
crowd
very likable on stage. I mean, you're likable. I mean, you're an East Coast guy. You're very aggressive.
Right,
and I do think Howard Stern would appreciate that.
Aggressive, but not in a dick way. You know what I mean?
Well, it can be a little dicky, but it can be a little
bit. I appreciate that. And that was the thing is, I'm not even joking you, the producers, the casting directors, I mean, I'm actually in the process of talking to some of those guys to release my own reality show.
Right.
Everybody
that
loved me.
That would be great. Yeah, that would be the way to go.
Yeah. But the judges.
But the four, yeah.
Yeah,
that would be the way to go, though.
Right. Absolutely.
And you were on NBC's Wipeout?
I was a contestant on Wipeout.
Was this like an obstacle course game sort of thing?
And that was freaking unbelievable.
How'd you get that?
I've always wanted to do that
show. Did you just audition for that?
It was the same thing. A guy from AGT, America's Got Talent, said, hey, I got a buddy producing this show. You would kill on this thing. Go out and check it out. And I went out, and I went freaking berserk.
Right.
I went, and I had a purple cape, and I thought I was going to fly through this whole. It was the hardest thing. I bleed.
And you're in good shape.
I work out, and I bleed about four or five nights a week. I get banged up. I smash my head through stuff. That was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Did you do the bouncing balls, the big old balls?
Big balls, baby.
You with the balls.
We did. Yeah, you keep bringing up balls.
Well, I go off, and I'm very focused on one
thing.
That's
good. Balls. Hey, you balls. See something you like, stick balls. To it, girl. I'm with you.
Balls.
So, Amy, you're going to do some stuff. We're almost out of time.
I know. I'm like, we've got to do this again at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely want to have you back. I mean, just these stories. But how do you end up writing for a metal publication in England? How did that work out?
Okay, well, actually, I'll explain how that happened. I was writing for Mojo, if anybody knows Mojo.
That's a British publication?
No, Mojo as in here.
Oh, Mojo. Oh, that Mojo. Okay, I know Mojo. There's a Mojo magazine in England.
Not that Mojo.
Right.
I was writing for Mojo here, and basically, nobody wanted to interview with me. Like he has gotten drunk and created enough enemies in the true music arc of music.
That's Mojo.
To make it to where no one wanted to actually talk to me and wouldn't take me seriously. And I said, dude, this ain't working. And so I stopped writing for him because I found that to be the truth. Well, I mean, the Jägermeister is an issue.
With Mojo, yeah. Well, the thing with Mojo, and if you don't know, he's a guy, he's around the scene. He used to write for Rock City News. Now he's got his magazine, Lost Anarchy, real quick, and I can't believe we're talking about him. But
I know. First time
I met him, he came up to me. He's like, "Hey, dude, you look like the guy from Insane Clown Posse." I'm like, I'm like, thanks, Billy Corgan.
Violent Mark.
Thanks, Billy Corgan.
Okay, I only wrote, I think, for 3 or 4 issues, though, before I finally figured out that basically he'd made enough enemies. Like, my stuff wound up being legitimate stuff in his publication, and then, like, people would
And the rest of it is his little rantings. Hey, man, I got kicked out of Bar's Industry, and these guys get fucking assholes.
Yeah,
like, that's the rest of the magazine. You're actually writing legitimate stuff.
Yes. And so this guy comes over from London, England, and I meet him at the Rainbow, and we're sitting and we're talking, and I'm telling him what I've done for a living. I read my resume off to him, which I haven't even done here, really.
I know.
The hour is just not long enough. But so he goes, are you willing to write for me? So I'm the only actual L.A. base for this London publication. There's not enough of me.
I'm sure.
I've got girls that want to work for me to actually shoot for me, but I can't afford to pay them because how am I going to make a profit right now? I'm at the point where I'm profiting, so why would I have anybody else do anything that I'm doing?
Yeah.
So after a certain point, it's going to take off.
And who have you photographed and written about for this magazine?
Oh, God, King Diamond. I covered King Diamond at the Wiltern. Yes, and I'm telling you what, that was the most brutal show I think I've ever been to.
What?
No, dude, the people were, I was having to shoot behind this ramp behind the pit.
Right.
So there were people that were behind me that actually didn't have pit tickets that were sneaking up there, jumping up on top of the concrete pavement and jumping into the pit. And there were shoes, there was sweatshirts, there were T-shirts flying off. There was so much stuff going over the top of me. I'm lucky I even got as good a shots as I got.
Okay.
It was brutal. And I met Brian Johnson from the Comic Book Men because he's such a fan of King Diamond. And we sat and we talked about it for hours. Actually, I should have brought my scarf. I have a King Diamond scarf I bought at the show. $30. It was really reasonable. Actually, I have an American head charge. I got this because I figured, you know, after they've made it this far, I may as well brand myself with their stuff. And it has meaning, and I can't remember half the time what the hell it is because it's so drawn out. It's like almost like a paragraph.
Right.
It means I shall either find a way or make it. Believe that you have it and you have it. That's what that tattoo means.
That's great.
I like the credo. I think it's great and it's inspiring.
AA should replace the it's
worth
it.
You know what?
It works if you work it, so you're worth it. Yeah, they should replace it with that.
Cameron has been sober for a while. Those guys met in a rehab, so for them to be still going on and making it and their new CD. I'll definitely come here and plug the hell
absolutely,
out of it.
That's
absolutely
going to
happen.
And any metal hookups you got, man, I'd love to have these people. We'll come in with them. You and King Diamond would be a great show.
Oh, dude, Metal Blade so plugged my review of that.
Right.
I was so excited.
Oh, that's great.
They put me on their site, and I really appreciate all of that.
Thank you, Metal Blade.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Bill Metoyer showed up for my 40th birthday party.
Aww.
And Society One played at the Whiskey that night. So.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I had a really good party.
They played the show that we were at my album release party. And mm-hmm. I've got some downloads for you guys, I think. Kat, Amy, if you guys can talk amongst yourselves for a minute or so, I'm going to set up the camera, and we're going to see Dangerous D, see what he's all about. You guys ready for that?
That's awesomely cool. I think we're almost out of alcohol, too. I think I've drank three shots.
How much time do I have to do stuff here?
You got 7 minutes.
7 minutes? All right, I'm going to do...
I do want to see that.
Hold on.
We might be able... I'm going to ask Jenny. Jenny, is Nestor coming in? Okay, we got 7 minutes.
All right, I'm gonna do one thing real quick for you, and then you're gonna help me out with something, Mark. Is that cool?
That's cool.
Balls.
Does it have to do with balls? Hey, that's what we want to know.
We can do the balls if you have.
If you're ready. Let me go across, and I'm gonna put the microphone. Oh, unless you can put the microphone on the edge of the table there.
We want to make sure we can hear you.
Okay,
so
mousetrap on the balls.
Yeah, so no. I've seen the mousetrap.
So he's got a mousetrap mic, so I'm not like.
So basically, this isn't quite a blow off, but I'm just going to show you a little something real quick so you see and know that what I do is real. I do not do tricks, I do not perform illusions. Everything I do is 100% real. I perform feats of human endurance and curiosities. Now, normally, what I do. As I would drop pants and snap this on the most tender spot of the body. That's right. Although there are no police here now, I did get arrested for doing this last week.
Oh, wow.
So I will snap this on the second most tender spot of the body.
Ow. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry,
He's got a mousetrap on his tongue.
That's
where you clap. There we go. That's all right.
Yeah. Wow.
But
I'm sorry.
Just did that to show you that what we are about to do is fucking real.
Well,
now, Mark,
dude,
I need
it
your
was
help,
devastating.
Buddy.
Come on. Okay, I'm coming up. Hold on.
I'm still shocked. Okay. That's why.
I know, 5 minutes. I got it.
Now, normally at my show, I want you to scream and yell and make a lot of noise. But right now, and all the listeners at home, stand right here for me. Be very quiet or you're not going to hear 40,000 volts of electricity shooting through my body. Now, I don't do this often because you can die from doing this. Now, Mark, this is all you need to do.
Okay.
Hold down that yellow button.
Got it.
The entire time as hard as you can.
Okay.
And stick it into my gut and do not let go. Okay. I will drop before you let go. You understand?
I understand.
Here we go. Mark knows how to
do
this.
I can tell you're from Brooklyn.
Is this a taser or a stun gun? But make sure you're not going to hit the table, though.
By the way, you're the second person that's done this on the show.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Tesla Coyle did this twice.
Did she?
But not in the guts.
Did you say you're really going to fall?
And not 40,000 volts, I guarantee
you
that.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay, you're going to tell me when to stop.
I'll go down.
I'll go down.
Start squeezing it first and put it in. Go. Yeah!
Oh, wow.
I think there's blood in my underwear.
No, I've done this a few times.
I don't hit the floor anymore.
Yeah, that was last year. I was curious.
Yes.
That's what I was worried about.
He's got a big arm on him. I didn't know how it was going to work. I might have dropped. But that's just a little taste. If you want to see the rest, check me out online. Dangerous D. My real name, for those of you, is Darren Malfi. That's a little awkward, right? Even though it sounds like a stage name. But hit me up online. I have a YouTube series. You can check out all that crazy shit.
Bring your ass to Toxic Tuesday, where I do photos every Tuesday
night. Oh, I'm in. That sounds like something we can put the mic back on.
And Darren, actually, that was crazy. Yeah, she Tesla Toyo did it on her breast, but you're the first one with the stomach. So
right. That's how they get you. That's how the police get you, right?
Right. Wow. So you should come to. I think I'm going to Toxic Tuesday. Nicole's got some fudge for me for my birthday. But
what kind of fudge? That sounds dirty.
Yeah, that's,
well, I mean, we need entertainers like you. Actually, we've had a fire breather. We've had several different kind of things
happen. I'm in.
Yeah.
I Yeah. Anytime there's something going down where I could be stupid, I'm about it.
Yeah.
I'm
about
anyway, so Darren, and I'm sure people watching this show will want to book you. Give that all that information again. So Darren Malfi.
All right. It's Darren Malfi, but really all you need to do is DarrenMalfi.com.
That's D-A-R-I-N.
DarrenMalfi.com. Or you can just Google Dangerous D. Get a hold of me. Hit me up. I'll come out and perform at literally 3-year-old birthday parties all the way to XXX bachelorette parties.
Now, what do you do at 3-year-old birthday parties?
Balloon animals.
Balls. You do the stun gun and stuff like that?
Actually, balls.
Yeah. Balls.
Right. Well, if a 3-year-old had $100, you'd let them stay with you.
Absolutely. Okay. And usually a 3-year-old that's having a party that hires a sideshow, their parents got money.
Yeah. Right. And also, Sammy, both of you agree, and we're going to want to have you back on. Definitely.
I live in Hollywood, so it's easy for me.
So not tonight. I live in the Valley. It wasn't too easy for me. But how do you get a hold of Ozfest Amy and get to see some of your writing?
Actually, if you go to Metalville or if you log into Facebook, I'll actually post it up. It's easier to do that worldwide than to have to actually send anything out.
That's M-E-T-A-A.
M-E-T-A-L-L-I-V-I-L-L-E.
So there's two L's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you're on Facebook. And you're
So it would be the UK publication. So it's UK.co, not like .com.
Oh, that's right. Because it is... Yeah. So do you have a rabid fan base in England, I would imagine.
Actually, yeah. And my
proposals?
My editor is coming over here in January, and we're going to cover some stuff together. Mm. Powerman 5000 is going to play the whiskey, actually. And my editor's birthday is the 17th, the same day as my mom's.
Oh, wow.
So he was here for my 40th birthday. Right. Not that I really need to tell y'all I'm 40, but I am.
That's the third time you said it.
I know, but...
So do you like guys with, like, English accents? Could this be something that maybe has some...
You know what? I'm Irish-Italian, right. So...
I've dated a few of those.
Yeah, that's what I am. That's
and, nice combination.
And my editor is a super nice, sweet guy, and yes. Yeah, he really likes me.
Hello, Amy. We want you to come over the pond.
Hello, love.
He really likes me, but you know,
yeah, baby,
we make a really great combination when it comes down to it, because he is over there, which means any band that comes to the UK, he can cover. Any band that comes to LA, which is like the music forefront here, we can cover.
And follow Ozfest Amy on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Kat.
Yes.
Kat, you
got 2 seconds. Balls.
You got two seconds. You're Kat Face on Facebook, and you're teaching that.
Yes, and www.kats-entertainment.com. That's Kats with a Z-entertainment.com. Thank you.
Everybody, balls. Have a wonderfully creepy week. This has been a great show. Bye-bye.
Mark, you're the man.
Oh, my God.